I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to the 100th episode of She Explores. Thank you so much for being here. This show wouldn't exist without each and every one of you. Okay, on with the show.
And I think that just, you know, spending that summer inside instead of being able to do the things that I love, you know, many of us rely on the outdoors for our mood and our mental health and exercise. And when that's stripped away from you and you don't have an alternative coping mechanism at hand, you just feel really, really stuck.
This episode is about what happens when you're injured and indoors, how the outdoors is still out there waiting for you. Our blog editor, Haley Hurst, took the lead on this one, reaching out to three women who experienced very different injuries, but who have a lot in common.
So I chose Erica, Amanda, and Jamie. I chose them because they each injured something different. One of them was a hip, one was a wrist, and one was an ankle. So they all had surgery, which I thought was a good texture for the recovery process from something as invasive as surgery. But each of their surgeries and recoveries were inhibiting in different ways. But they all had similar arcs of progress, and which I think is the thing that unites us all in these different experiences, that there's still like frustration and emotional pain that goes with the physical, and then some sort of growth and reflection that happens in this space that we inhabit during this progressive transformation between broken and healed again.
Oh, even those two words, broken and healed, they carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, they do.
So I was mountain biking this past July, just up on Teton Pass outside of Jackson, Wyoming.
This is Erica Ahrens. She broke her wrist last summer, but I'll let her share more about it.
I was biking over a creek on this skinny bridge, and I fell off the bridge. I didn't quite make it over into the opposite end of the creek bed, which is about a 6-foot fall. Kind of landed on my wrist and hit my face, and my face was bleeding, and I was kind of like, well, I think I'm okay. And, you know, I just biked out. I waited almost a month before going to the doctor, but turns out that I broke my right scaphoid, which is a little bone in your wrist beneath your thumb, kind of. And it turns out it is one of the slowest healing bones in your body. So I had a screw placed in there to put it back together, and we've been healing ever since.
That's crazy. I can't believe you mountain biked with a broken wrist.
My boyfriend was like, do you want to take my bike? You know, because it has a little more travel. And I was like, I think I'm okay. I went for another ride like a couple weeks later. I'm like, oh, it's still not ready, but I think it's just sprained. But yeah, so I ended up being in an above the elbow cast for a month with my thumb locked as well. And then I was in a short cast with the thumb for another 2 months after that.
Amanda Gates' hip injury is different than Erica's wrist. It didn't happen all at once, but gradually.
So I didn't know initially, but I had my injury that was caused by a bone deformity that I developed as an athlete growing up. It's called hip impingement, and there's two different types. There's one where the femoral head is too bulged, and then there's another where the pelvis is too sharp, and I had both. So that led to cartilage tears in both my hips. And I had first felt that pain on my very first backpacking trip back in 2014. And I saw a physical therapist afterwards, and it was misdiagnosed as tendonitis in my hip flexors. We didn't find this out until last year, actually, when my physical therapist finally told me to get some imaging because I had plateaued a while ago and I was just frustrated all the time. And that's kind of when we found out that I had this bone deformity. And even through that process, I still saw 3 or 4 more doctors just to make sure that I wasn't missing anything before my absolute last resort of surgery. And I had pretty much tried everything, which is PT on and off for about 4 years, and acupuncture and massage therapy and rest, and none of that had worked, and I was actually getting worse, so it was time to get some surgery.
Wow, that's a long time building up to it.
I know.
Amanda had two surgeries and a lot of time spent not quite lying down, not quite sitting up.
Yeah, so they put me in this hip brace, which is similar to those knee braces you see all the time, except for I had a band that went around my waist and then two bands that went around my thigh, and it prevented me from laying all the way down and sitting all the way up. So I had to wear that 24/7, even while I slept, and be on crutches for 7 weeks post-op. So between the two, I was in it for 14 weeks.
And you had to take time off work too, right?
Yeah, I ended up taking a total of 16 weeks off between both surgeries.
I had shattered all three of my ankle bones and dislocated it. And it happened while I was hiking. It was a total freak accident. My surgeon said he's never seen an injury like as bad as it was.
Finally, Haley talked to Jamie Purinton, who was 5 years out from her ankle injury. She has the benefit of perspective, but her injury was traumatic.
It was actually my birthday, and my husband and I, we hiked this trail that's local. It's a beautiful river. It's about a mile from my house, so we're able to hike from our house to this trail. In the summertime, we go down there, and we'll bring, like, dinner with us and, you know, have dinner by the river and hike in, and it's just amazing. So it was my birthday, so that's what I wanted to do. And we had our dogs with us, and there was just a little rocky section. I mean, anyone can hike it. And one of my dogs was kind of freaking out, and I was just focused on him. And I lost my balance, and I put my foot back, and I broke my ankle. But my brain didn't register that my ankle was broken. And so I put my full body weight on my broken ankle, and then that's when I shattered it and dislocated it. I had about 30 pounds on my back because we were actually training to do the Hike Sierra Trail.
Luckily, Jamie was close to the hospital, but her injury was misdiagnosed because her bones were so shattered. It wasn't until 3 days later and two trips to the ER for pain management that she had a surgery to put her ankle back into place and set the bones. On top of that, she got infections and blisters, which put off a second necessary surgery for 3 weeks. That's when the recovery finally started. But before Haley talks recovery with Erica, Amanda, and Jamie, I asked her why this was such a personal topic for her.
Yeah, I recently had knee surgery. This isn't my first experience going through a recovery either. I had wrist surgery 2 years ago from a torn ligament. So I went through that experience of healing and did part of a motorcycle trip with my arm in a brace and knew kind of what it was like to be sidelined from my normal activities. But going through it again this year, I had knee surgery to repair another ligament damage. But it was totally different. Like, even though I'd been through it once before, going through the immersive experience of having surgery and then several weeks of recovery, it's just, it completely removes you from your life. And as someone who identifies as an outdoors person and finds a lot of inspiration and, you know, peace doing stuff outside, knowing that I couldn't do that and being not allowed to do that just was a huge mental and physical negative void for a while. And I know that I'm not the only one who's been through this. So it was really good to talk to people about their experiences being injured and indoors and isolated from the lives that they are used to living.
Injured and indoors. As someone who hasn't experienced an injury recovery, it's helpful to get some context for what the women were going through physically. It's worth noting that these women all experienced something different than a permanent disability and understood that though their injuries were challenging, in no way would they conflate the two.
I would be stuck on the couch, and the only time I would get off the couch is if I had to use the restroom, and it was really difficult for me to just get off the couch into the wheelchair and to the restroom and back. Physically, I mean, I would be exhausted just from doing that little bit of movement, and I think coupled with the really strong narcotics, I would just basically sleeping all day.
That was Jamie, whose ankle surgery left her in a wheelchair for 2 months and heavily medicated. After that, she spent another 2 months on crutches and another 6 months limping. Here's Erica.
I broke my right wrist, and I'm dominant right-handed, so it was hard to eat. I couldn't do my hair. I couldn't, you know, really, like, clean myself showering very well. Sleeping was hard. And then beyond that, I couldn't really do anything but go on walks. Once I had the cast shortened, I could go back to work and kind of go on short hikes. But at the same time, you're lugging around a hot, sweaty cast that the more you sweat on it, the more it's going to smell for the next 2 months. And it was frustrating because, you know, you have your whole body, you know, your legs are working fine, your feet are working fine. And you're like, it's just my wrist. I should be able to be out doing all these things. But it's kind of really surprising to me how limiting physically, you know, wrist and some, you know, one of the small, tiny bone in your body, and how much it really impacts your day-to-day life.
I couldn't do a whole lot. Like, I was supposed to be reclined basically the majority of the day for 7 weeks.
This is Amanda again, who had two hip surgeries.
I luckily had my mom there for the first few days, but mostly everyone I knew worked a 40-hour week job, so I was left alone during the day, and I kind of had to fend for myself for the food and bathing and anything else I needed to get done. And I had to plan everything ahead of time. Like, if I was going to go use the bathroom, I had to make sure I gave myself enough time to get to the bathroom and bring my backpack and take my Nalgene so I could refill that up and grab anything I could possibly think that I would want for the next few hours, because I wasn't planning on moving again until I had to use the bathroom. And then showering was like the most paranoid of the whole process too, because I didn't have a chair in my shower, and I just kept envisioning all the time, like, I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall and it's going to hurt, and then I'm going to have to do this all over again. And that was difficult. Just everyday tasks that became so tedious made it really hard.
Yeah, that's something, like, when you think about being stuck inside, you think about, like, oh, I can't do the fun things, but there's also the normal things you can't even do, like put on a pair of socks by yourself was a big one.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember watching like a Netflix show and somebody just was sitting down and they stood up, and I just remember being like, I wish I could do that.
Having these conversations with these three women, what were you left with after talking with them?
Mainly that the mental part of the recovery is harder than the physical one, which, I mean, I related to that, and I kind of knew that that might be the case. But if you haven't been through surgery recovery or injury recovery, you don't know how much of a mental struggle it's going to be, which is hard to prepare yourself for. And when you're in it, like, it's hard to reconcile with all these feelings that you have of guilt.
Yeah, I think that the mental and emotional experience is almost as difficult, if not more difficult, than the physical part, because you can kind of see yourself physically healing and physically making progress, but in your head you're like, you know, you're still unable to be doing the things you love, and so you don't see that, you know, those breakthroughs and that sort of thing. So I was definitely as lonely. I had FOMO. You know, you can only watch Netflix for so long before you go completely insane. And those first few weeks, I couldn't work either. So I just, you know, sat there for hours a day alone. You know, I'd go out in the backyard and sit on a hammock for a few hours, but you're still just kind of sitting there and trying to keep yourself busy. It was the middle of the summer. Everyone's out camping, biking, swimming. And, you know, regardless if I was paying attention to social media and stuff like that, I still couldn't be out doing that. So it's, you know, 90 degrees outside and you're stuck in this little humid box, unable to move. And you just kind of get in a mental rut, I would say. And it just, you feel down, you feel, you know, out of the loop, and there's really nothing that you feel like you can do about it because you're so stuck and trapped. And I mean, I definitely cried daily for weeks and felt down and was bored out of my mind. And I think I also felt down because I was like, it's a wrist injury. I shouldn't be feeling bad about this. You know, I'm going to be able to ski come the winter. You know, I know people who have it worse. So I really beat myself up about that too.
You're injured, but you feel like you should still be grateful that it could be worse. But I don't know, just this process of feeling guilty, but also feeling like really, really down. It's difficult.
Yeah, it's so difficult. And I think I learned that it's okay to, you know, put yourself first, and we all have hardships, and maybe some people's are harder than mine, and maybe some people have it easier than me, but you can't think about other people's injuries or other people's hardships. You just have to think about yourself and what you can do to heal yourself.
Time goes by quickly when it's lost to medication and endless hours of TV, but it also just ekes by, measured by doses of medication and days post-op, and you have appointments, and I don't know. The structure of each day is just different and defined by different things, so because it's not normal life, and you also know it's not permanent, it's just this weird space of in-between. That's something that came up in our conversations, too, like, surgery recovery is similar to other transition periods in your life, but it's dense and specific kind of stuck. That's also like very full of physical pain and mental struggles, but also kind of is a big void that you try to fill with things that make you feel better or ways to make the time go by faster, or at least just acknowledging that this time is a thing and it's temporary. Mm-hmm. Is something to acknowledge, I guess.
We hear from Jamie, who had the traumatic ankle injury.
When you can't move, you're forced to be still and quiet, and you're forced to be with yourself. So lots of emotions come up, and fears and insecurities, and I didn't have any way of escaping them. So normally, you know, I would keep myself really busy, or I'd go for a hike or whatever I could to not deal with them and just push them down and just ignore them. And so when I wasn't able to do those things that would distract me, I really was forced to deal with them head on, and it was tough, but you know, it was definitely needed. And looking back, you know, it just really changed me as a person.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your email. I'm curious to hear how it changed you.
Well, you know, before my injury, I was that person that had a hard time saying no to people. I was a huge people pleaser. I would always overwhelm myself because I wasn't unable to say no. So I'd take on projects and I'd help people, and it was just really stressful. So I feel like I was just barely getting by and always stressed out, always overwhelmed. And during recovery, a lot of that kept coming up. And the injury helped me to see that and helped me to realize that, you know, my life really wasn't working well the way that it was going, and that I had to learn how to navigate that and you know, take better care of myself, tell people no, not be such a people pleaser. I really think that the injury, it really was a blessing for me. It really changed my life for the better, and I really wouldn't change anything about it looking back.
Another aspect of recovery, the outdoor activities you're missing out on.
I tried to plan it so that I would use most of mud season to recover and then miss all of summer and then be back by winter. So I missed all the summer activities that I'd normally be doing, like backpacking and climbing and hiking and just car camping in general. And so I missed all those summer activities, and I'm able to snowboard now, but I'm still missing, like, I missed Bozeman Ice Climbing Festival that I wanted to go to, and a lot of things, like everything I could think of. And it was hard going on social media during those times, because I'm an active person, so my friends that I'm close with are all active people, and they're outside doing those things, and I'm happy that they are because I can't, but also I was very jealous.
Yeah, that's hard. That's like part of the mental experience, right? Like comparing yourself.
Yeah, it's so hard not to do that, even if you know it's wrong.
What was the hardest part for you?
I couldn't see the end in sight. Like, it just seemed like every day I woke up and I was just kind of like, now what? Like, I just couldn't wait for that day to be over, even though I had just started, so that I could be one more day closer to my normal life again. So that is not a healthy lifestyle to live.
So the mental part is hard. But all these women learned coping methods. And we'll hear about them and more after this. We all want to do the right thing to keep our bodies healthy for the long run, which feels especially relevant when we talk about this episode. Trying as hard as we can, it's still pretty unlikely that we're getting all the nutrients we need on a daily basis, which is where Ritual comes in. Ritual's Essential for Women vitamins come in two easy-to-take capsules that provide 9 nutrients you need. I take Ritual every day. I started last summer. I like that it's designed to prevent nausea, and there's a mint tab in every bottle so there's no fishy aftertaste, like you can get sometimes with other omega-3s. This is the first vitamin I've been able to stick with, which for me feels like it's saying something. Better health doesn't happen overnight. Help fill the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/explore to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/explore. Podcasts are a great source of information and entertainment, but if you're like me, you can't always remember where you heard something. I listen to a lot of entrepreneurial shows, and I always want to be able to refer to a quote or a piece of advice for later, but it can be really hard to find them again. Recently, I've been using Nocast, an app by XIQ, which is available on both iOS and Android. Nocast is a game changer. You can use it to subscribe and listen to all your favorite podcasts, but you can also use it to save portions of the podcasts whenever you want, and it even automatically generates a transcript for you, which is really cool to think that it could automatically do that, even if the podcaster doesn't normally release transcripts. All you do is tap the note button on the play screen or pause the podcast and say, save that. The Nocast app will save the last 30 seconds of what you heard, so you can go back and listen later, and it will also store a transcript as a digital note. Whether it's a great conversation, story, joke, tip, or recipe, Nocast will help you retain information like never before. It's an absolute must-have podcast app and the perfect cure for in one ear, out the other. You can download Nocast for iOS or Android by going to nocast.app, and we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try it free for 60 days, no credit card required. Just enter our code EXPLORERS when completing your sign-up. Again, that's nocast.app, and use our code EXPLORERS to try it free for 60 days. We're back. Haley asked Jamie, Amanda, and Erica how they coped with the isolation. Erica shared how she took up reading and puzzling and fit in different kinds of outdoor activities, like going to the farmer's market. Haley called out something that all three women talked about.
One of the things that everyone said was that connecting with other people who have been through it was one of the best things that helped them feel not alone and like they were making progress and supported throughout the process.
Here's Erica.
My good friend Kylie tore ACL, and I honestly don't think I could have made it through the process with her, at least not with my sanity intact. You just have to find someone who understands that, you know, 5 extra degrees of range of motion is something to, you know, celebrate about, and someone who can take those little milestones and really understand that how big they are.
Yes, definitely. You said that in your email that sharing the struggle was a huge help for you to get through the summer.
Exactly. And sharing the struggle with someone who has been through it recently or is going through with it. You know, I think when I wasn't injured, I tried to resonate with people who were injured, like, oh yeah, you know, I hurt myself 5 years ago and it really sucked too. But when you're talking to someone like that as an injured person, you're like, no, you don't get it. So just talking to other people who have it kind of fresh in their mind was huge for helping me.
One of the ways Jamie found community through her injured ankle was by blogging about her experience. She also found it helpful to just let herself rest. Here's Jamie.
The hardest part was just resting. You know, my body was going through major healing, and I would just sleep a lot. And I think that really that really aided in my healing and not pushing myself. A lot of people that are outdoors or explorers or hikers, or we're all wanting to push ourselves all the time. And this was the one time in my life that I needed to not do that and really just allow my body to heal, you know. And then just other things too, I really had to keep a positive outlook. If I found myself spiraling down into any kind of negative thoughts, it just would catapult me into this place, dark place that I didn't want to be. So I just kept, you know, telling myself that it's just a short amount of time. I'm going to be healed eventually, and I'm going to be looking back and laughing at, you know, what a nerd I was that I broke my ankle that bad on the trail. So just really trying to keep the positive thoughts going. And I meditate a lot. So meditation was key as well. And especially when I would spiral down into those dark places, and just being able to, you know, observe those thoughts and let them go helped a lot as well.
Like Jamie, Amanda also journaled and meditated, and she connected with her friends and family in a pretty unique way.
My favorite thing to do that I found about halfway through my first recovery that helped me tremendously mentally was making gifts for others. I started with just like basic friendship bracelets. I would pick someone that I had in mind and pick out all the colors and find like a complex pattern on Google. And I would spend anywhere from a few hours to several days on them. And then my favorite part about it was I would write them a letter. And I used this time to tell them how much they really meant to me, because, well, I've been lucky enough in my life to not lose anyone close to me, but I've known others who haven't been that lucky. And it kind of comes with our lifestyle of living in the outdoors and loving it. Like, accidents happen, so you never know, like, when the people you care most about are going to leave you. So I just took this opportunity to tell them what I would have wanted to tell them if something were to happen to them. And I learned from myself that gratitude journals don't really work for me, but I felt so much gratitude doing this. And it just made me so happy that I knew they were going to receive something from me unexpectedly, and that would make their day. And it also made me happy realizing, like, I have amazing people in my life, and I feel really lucky that I get to write such beautiful things about them.
That's amazing. I love that you use the time to connect with people, where, like, physically and mentally too, it can feel really isolating to go through an experience like this. That it's awesome that you took advantage to connect with your friends and with new people too, who are going through the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Lonely is not a emotion I like to feel. So it was really nice to get that out in those ways.
If you want to hear more coping tips, Haley put together an article with lots of tips for coping from the women featured here, as well as others in our She Explores podcast Facebook group. One thing Haley said resonated with me. These coping tips are all tools for our toolboxes, even if we've never been injured. Getting back out there again is another piece of the recovery process. Haley asked Erica what it was like when she skied for the first time with her newly healed wrist.
So you mentioned that you were cleared to ski again, and you said it was terrifying. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what that was like to go back outside and do an activity where you could hurt yourself again?
My first alpine ski of the season, I was holding like my pole with my bad wrist and just kind of letting it drag, and I tripped over my ski and fell, you know, just on a cat track right off the lift. And I was like, oh my gosh, I really, really don't want to hurt myself again. And again, I was like, it's my wrist. Why is it affecting my skiing? But when it really, an injury affects the whole synchronicity of your body, and getting back into the sport is scary again. And it takes time to get back to where you were before injury. And I think it's an entirely new mental battle.
Yeah, it does take time. And it's, I think, something that you mentioned too, that I've totally experienced, is when you do start doing stuff again, you're not 100% and you can't keep up, but you feel like you should be able to. So that's a frustrating aspect of it too.
Exactly. You know, being on the sideline for 4 months, you lose, at least for me, you know, I lost a lot of strength, and I'm still working on getting back to where I was before injury. And it's not, it hasn't been only getting my mental space back in, and like, yeah, I can go that fast, or yeah, I can jump off that, or yeah, I can ski that line, but it's also like, you know, can I go ski that line? Am I physically ready to go do that tour? So it's a whole, it's really frustrating too, getting back into it and being, you know, ready to be where you were when you left off, and your body's just not physically ready to do that again.
When I got cleared to snowboard, I didn't really want to go with my friends on my first day back because I didn't want to keep them back, and I didn't really know where I was going to be, like if I should just stay on the bunny hill all day or something, because my legs were super atrophied. But it felt really good to realize that I still had the muscle memory, and even though my legs were super atrophied, that they still knew what to do, even though like mentally I might have been scared to fall or do something, like my body knew how it works and what to do in certain situations, and it was just really reassuring.
So when I started hiking again, it was very slow. It took me a while to, I had zero strength, so I had to build that back up. But once I was able to kind of build that back up and get to the level that I was before, there was some PTSD that I was dealing with when like stepping over rocks or whatever. I ended up totally getting over that. It took, you know, it took a while, but I just kept pushing myself and going out and hiking. And the more that I did it, and the more, you know, I was able to see that I was going to be okay, the less episodes I would have. I did have some therapy for my PTSD, which helped a ton. So that was, I'm sure, paramount in getting over that as well. But now I'm fine. I hike, oh my gosh, like as much as I can. If I didn't have to come home, I would just hike forever. But you know that I have a life. I can't just be on the trail all the time. But and I'm able to do everything I did before, and even more than that. And my husband and I, you know, we backpack a lot, and we hike, and we do some really long mileage trails and high elevations. And I've just adapted with my injury, and I'm totally fine.
A lot has changed for you, it sounds like. But how has your relationship with the outdoors changed?
Yeah, so I definitely don't take it for granted anymore. You know, there would be days that I would be like, oh, it's a little bit too hot today, I'm not going to go hiking. Or I would, you know, get to the point where I have an amazing dog, and he's part coonhound, so he needs to be walked constantly. And I would look at walking my dog as a chore. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to walk my dog today. I get to go out in the trees. And I just don't, you know, I don't take it for granted. I get out there as much as I can, because, you know, we know with these injuries that you can be taken down at any time. And I just don't, I want to live a life that's free, and, you know, that I'm in nature as much as possible. And it's just, it's constantly giving back to me. Every time I go out, I come back so filled up.
So all in all, like going through this whole outdoor injury and then spending quite a bit of time stuck indoors, how did your perspective change?
Yeah, I think the way I approach social media is a lot different. And as silly as that sounds, I think in a world of social media and posting our accomplishments online and posting, I used to post me skiing every single day that I was out there. And I think seeing that from the other side and not being the person who was out there, being the person who couldn't be out there, I'm more mindful of, you know, my quantity of posting, because I know how frustrating it is to, you know, flip through your feed and see people out there enjoying it when you can't. And I guess the other thing, I think if I were to go through this experience again, I would be more intentional about finding another hobby I can invest my time in, and really, you know, making the most of that time that we, you know, are spending on the couch, as much as it really, really, really sucks.
You know, I look at my body now, I just think it's so amazing that you can come back from something like that and be stronger. You know, your body's so resilient. And my surgeon, when I, after my first, or after my second surgery, he told me that there was a big possibility that I would never walk without a limp again. And I just remember thinking, there's no way that I'm going to let that happen. And I feel like you can do that. You can use your mind to heal your body as well and come back from some pretty severe injuries.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm excited to see myself get stronger too.
Yeah, I feel like when I was about a year out, it was still, I was able to hike at that point. Nothing, you know, nothing too strenuous or anything. But even a year out, I was still in recovery and it still was hard and there was still a lot going on. I would say probably by like year three, that was when I had gotten over the PTSD and everything. And I feel like it took about 3 years for me to really be where I felt like I was recovered.
Man, oh, it's just such a long process. It feels like every milestone feels big, but the time also feels like it goes really slow.
Yeah. But here I am 5 years later and I'm like, oh my gosh, that flew by.
How has your perspective changed after going through all of this?
I am just able to see the big picture a lot easier, not just with my life outdoors, but just anything in general. And I'm much more accepting of things that are out of my control. For example, I had a meeting with my surgeon last week and he kind of led me to think that I might not be able to hike and backpack again this summer, which is really traumatizing again because I didn't really expect to lose 2 summers with these surgeries. But I let myself have a pity party day and just like cry it out and be upset. And then I was kind of shocked about how I'm like, okay, now what? Like, what does that mean? What does it bring? Like, whatever comes will come, and just being okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned that you started journaling, and you said you started entries with, I still don't feel like me. Do you think that you have a different perspective of who you are and what you're capable of, even if you aren't able to go outside? I think it's difficult as people who identify as outdoorsy. It can feel like you're cut off from yourself. But yeah, how do you navigate that now? How do you feel?
Well, during my pity party day, I didn't feel very good. but yeah, I am able to know, especially I just feel stronger after what I went through and knowing that if it ever comes up again, like I made it through the first 2 times, I can make it through again. And even though, yeah, I identify myself as being an outdoor woman, it might not always mean that I get to go outdoors, and that's okay. And I'm still me. I might not feel like me, but like my personality is still there. It's just hard to find sometimes, especially when I'm not, if I'm just sitting alone inside for weeks at a time and not having anything new to share. But yeah, it's still there.
It is.
I want to leave us with a piece of what Haley learned in recovery from her knee surgeries.
Recovery is kind of a window into what life is like if you have a limited physical ability. So I feel a lot of gratitude that I get to recover from this and get to go backpacking again in the future. That's not the case with everyone who gets injured who has surgery or who experiences some illness. So I'm grateful that my body is healing, and I think I'll appreciate it more when I do get back outside again.
I'm pleased to say that Haley got outside again just last week.
So I'm outside at the Big White Ski Resort in British Columbia, and it's close to where I live. This is the same place where I hurt myself last year. It's been a little over a year, and this is my first time back on skis and my first real outdoor activity post-surgery. I'm on some Nordic trails cross-country skiing, so it's a nice mix between, you know, like walking and downhill skiing, so this is... I'm a little bit nervous to do this activity. I'm kind of afraid I'm going to hurt myself just because of the nature of doing anything active post-surgery. And on snow, slippery snow. But I'm excited to finally do something. and it's a beautiful day. It's lightly snowing. There's some birds in the distance I can hear chirping, and it's really quiet out here. So I've got my skis clipped on, and I'm gonna start some skiing. I feel pretty weak, but the snow is crunchy and feels good to move.
Thank you to Haley Hurst, Jamie Purinton, Erica Aaron, and Amanda Gates. We'll link where to find them on the show notes and the episode landing page. Thanks as well to our sponsors, Ritual and Notecast. If you enjoy listening to She Explores, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us and hopefully help us get to another 100 episodes. Music is by Josh Woodward and Kay Engel, using a Creative Commons Attributions license. Until next week, have fun out there. And thank you again for listening.